I'm talking to you today about faith takes it, hallelujah. That's what we learn. Faith changes everything. In Psalm 27, 5 and 6, it says, in the time of trouble, the Lord will take me up. Well, we were in a time of trouble in some of those situations. And, to start out with, Ken didn't have a job in Little Rock, and he had to believe God for a job. We were in a time of trouble. And when we were in the time of trouble, we began to see words like this. The Lord will take me up. Glory to God. Another scripture said, what would have become of me had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord? I don't even want to think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you can say, if you don't have to say if you don't want to, but how many of you came from situations like that where you just didn't have anything to, you're just barely getting along. Then you learn about the Word of God, and in a process of not very many months, everything's changed. Glory to God. See those testimonies? Hallelujah. So if you're in that situation today, this is a key. If you live in this area, get in this church and start learning how to walk with faith and get the CDs and listen to them. We listened to Brother Hagin's. In those days, it was reel-to-reel tapes. And we listened to those big old tapes, you know, and you had a tape recorder that was about this big, and I'm telling you, it was wonderful. We put those things on that pretty toffee table Ken made in high school, put our little TV on it, put our Bibles on the shelf, got in our rented rollaway bed, and whoa, we're doing good. We got a TV and a bed, got an old car, but it was running. It's good, good. So, and you can't get impatient about things. I mean, you know, it took Ken years to get in the shape he was in financially, and I wasn't even there to help him most of that time. So what if it took 6 months to get out of debt? That's quick, amen? So be grateful where you are. If you're alive and well, and if you're not well, get well. Jesus heals today just like he did in Galilee. And so you got it made. You're on the right path. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. I know most of you have been in this church long enough to walk in victory and faith, and you've been in under good ministries like Brother Hagin's was. Things are good. Things are good. How many of you just want to give a testimony and tell me that things are good in your life? And because of what you learned out of the Word of God. Amen. It changed everything. So if you're new and you're just thinking, well, these people crazy, or do they know what they're talking about? Brother, we know what we're talking about. We done been there and back. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it's just awesome. If you could just see a replay of our lives, you'd be amazed at how God has blessed us. So we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about faith today. Faith takes it. Now, Brother Keith's got marvelous, I've learned a lot about faith from him. He's got marvelous CDs and teachings. You need to take a bunch home with you if you're interested in learning. If you're going to just leave them in the closet, well, never mind. But if you want to grow, get you some good tapes. Hallelujah, like we did. And watch the broadcasts and watch. You know, just say, here, if I were, knowing what I know today, if I were in a spot where I just didn't have money, I didn't have a good car, I didn't have anything, I didn't have a good place to live, what I would do, it would be I would take a total immersion time with the Word of God and get it into my eyes and in my ears and in my heart where it'll come out my mouth faith. The Word will turn you from a wimp to a giant, I'm telling you. And it doesn't take long about it if you'll act on it and if you'll do what it says as you find out. Okay, so in a time of trouble, the Lord will take me up. That was Psalm 27, 5 and 6. And it's, I think another version says, he'll hide me. And Psalm 27, 13 and 14, I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Bible. I just want us to encourage ourselves in the Lord today with His Word. Glory to God. I love the Word. Man, I think about that little iron table and that little TV and that rollaway bed, and I'm a grateful dude, I'm telling you. I got me beds all over the place now. I could sleep in a different bed every night for a few nights anyway. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. Proverbs 6:2 in the Amplified says, you are snared by the words, by your words. Now that's the truth, church. You're getting exactly, if you're in abundance today, it's because you've been talking abundance. It's because you've been doing something. If you're in poverty today, it's because you've been talking poverty. If you're in poverty today, start talking abundance. Amen? Start saying the word. Start getting these scriptures that give you the things you know, the faith and the increase, the good job, whatever it is that you need. If you want to live in victory, you will have to live in faith. You can have all the money in every bank and be the most miserable human being that ever walked on the earth. So it's not just money that makes you happy, although it does help some. If you treat it right, if you tithe it and you don't let it get a hold of you, it'll help you, it'll bless you. But the key thing is to find out what God wants you to do in your life and do it. Hallelujah. Get after it. Some of you probably know you're called to preach and you'd never answer yet, but you need to do it. Things won't be right till you do. So faith changes everything. The Lord, in a time of trouble, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will hide me. What would have become of me? Oh, I was supposed to read this in the Amplified Bible. Let me check it out. What? It's Psalm 27. What would become of me if... Psalm 27, what? 13. Glory to God. I'm grateful for the Word, I can tell you that. I just seem to have a... Okay, Psalm 27. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us today. Help us to encourage each other, Lord. 13 and 14 says, what would have become of me, this Amplified, had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? I shudder to think about what would have become of me had we not learned what we learned about God in those days in Tulsa. I mean, we didn't have anything. We had stuff you'd get from the Goodwill, maybe, or your mother-in-law would give you, maybe. and we had an old car, you know, but it ran. Glory to God. We could get across town. Hallelujah. What would have become of me had I not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? Verse 14 says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave. If you're in a tough spot, now's a good time to be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're in a hard place today, and that's nothing to be ashamed of, most all of us have been there before. You get in this good church or in a church like this if you live in other cities and begin to study and find out what the Word says. Get in a faith church. Don't get in a church where they don't tell you anything good. Go where they're preaching the Word of God. And get your own Bible and begin to study it and read it. No, this is God's Word and it's written to me. Hallelujah. And start acting on it. That's called faith. First thing you know, you'll be out of trouble. First thing you know, you'll have the job you always wanted or the home or whatever it is or the children. God will give answers when you come to Him in faith. Hallelujah. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. You just, if you had $5 million right now in cash, you'd probably have fun for a little while. But you probably wouldn't live in victory. you'd probably be more miserable because you'd have enough money to be do more bad things. No, we want to live in victory, the victory of faith. When we do what God says, and this is what Ken and I've experienced through all these years, when we do what God says, when we talk the word, act the word, obey the word, good things happen. Faith happens. When you've got faith, you can believe for anything. You can hear, the doctor can say you're going to die in 6 months with this disease. If you've got faith, you can get it changed. If you go in one day and you've lost the best job you ever had and nobody's hiring and everybody's looking for a job, you can believe God for the best job you ever had if you got faith. So faith, and your children, you're believing for your children. They might be wild as Hooter Bill's goat and not very encouraging to look at, to watch, see what they're doing. You can break the power of the devil over and believe for their salvation and deliverance. And they'll have people just coming to them. I forget exactly how they used to say this, but people, they'd say, people just kept handing me these little things with the word of God on it. And finally it took root and got the people born again. I'm telling you, if you believe God, you can get it done. So the 6:2 Proverbs says, you're snared by your words. I'm telling you, we know that. If you've been in faith circles very long, you know you're going to get what you say. And if you don't want it, don't say it. You say, yeah, but I didn't really mean it. I mean, I just said, you know, I guess we'll never have anything, or what dumb things some people do say. I guess you never will have anything if you're going to talk negative, unbelieving talk. The only thing the devil can do to us is what we let him do, what he can talk us into. If he can talk you into being negative and giving up, and whether it's with disease or poverty or whatever it is, your children maybe are not doing what you think they ought to, if they're not, break the power of the devil over them, and you don't have to do it with them around if you don't want to, and believe God for their salvation. Just say, I break the power of Satan over Bill, and I am believing you, Father, for his salvation, and I'm asking you to put laborers across his path to get the word to him. We've heard the outdoingest testimonies about laborers like that. They say, those people came and they were reading little Bibles that looked like newspapers, and they started witnessing to us. I mean, you know, God can get to anybody if you give him some faith to work with. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome to serve God? And you never have to come up missing, behind, without any answers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith has to be developed. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. If you want faith, you'll have to spend time in the Word. Get the best thing you can do, if you can find one. No, many of you don't live here. But there are word churches now all over everywhere. Maybe not like this one. This is outstanding. But if you live in this area, you can grow fast in this church. But you can find one in any area you live in. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. And I've written out here beside that, and yield to patience. Sometimes, you know, people get in the awfulest mess, and they've been 30 years creating this nightmare of a life. And then they go to church and they hear a positive sermon and they pray, and they don't, you know, nothing happens within the first 2 weeks. So they think, well, this doesn't work. It took you 20 years to get in that shape. And it might take a few days to get you out of it. Amen. But I promise you, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over. If you'll stay on the Word of God, if you won't talk unbelief, but you'll find the scriptures in the Bible that apply to you, apply to your situation, and you put those in your mouth, you'll come out victorious. I just want to ask now, and I don't want you to fudge on it, But if you've had a situation in your life where it was really a hard-looking, impossible situation, and you got on the Word of God and you stayed there and you talked the Word and you wouldn't talk anything else, and you actually came out of the situation, I want to see your hands. Look at that. Look at that. I guarantee you, Ken and I have. And we've come out every time. Glory to God. And the more you practice that, the easier it is to live that way. You don't even think about getting back over into all that unbelief after you've had victory after victory. Scripture says this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means anything in the world. Hallelujah. So if you're new or if you're old, but you've been lazy, old in the walk, I mean, you need to get in the Word, go to the place here in the where Keith's got some of the best tapes and CDs, DVDs that are anywhere. He and Phyllis do marvelous, as you know, if you go to this church, marvelous teaching on the Word. Get in the Word. And don't just take them home, but listen to them. Listen to them going to work. Listen to them when you go to bed at night. That's what we did and still do. And spend time in your Bible. Read it. I like the Amplified Bible myself, especially if you're new and you've never studied much. Get in there and find out what belongs to you. It's like the Word to me is like, you could set a big treasure chest full of gold and silver right here. And somebody said, Gloria, you can have all this gold, but you'll never get another Bible. Which would you take? That's a no-brainer. I can get gold with the Bible. I'd take the Bible and think about the gold later. Hallelujah. I can also get healed with the Bible. Get my family taken care of with the Bible. Isn't that awesome, church? This belongs to us. We have it anytime we want it. Glory to God. And you should get in it every day, as you know. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. And you'll have to develop your patience. Because sometimes it takes a while to get out of a situation that it took a while to get into. But with patience, you'll come out. With patience, you'll come out. Glory to God. Now, Ken and I, in our life, we didn't have, you know, we had debt, and we owed on anything we had that was of any value, I guess. But we just didn't have any marvelous stuff. It was all old, you know, old stuff. But we were glad to have it. I mean, when you get ready to go to bed, what if your rollaway is rented? Isn't that better than the floor? Yes, amen. We had a high school shop table that Ken made in that little room, and we could put our black and white TV with a picture this high on that little table. We could get in a roll-up bed and watch TV or whatever it was. You know, but you got to stay on the positive. You can't give up. If you give up, if you're in any kind of trouble, either financially or physically, sickness or disease or something like that, or your children or whatever it is, if you give up, you've just thrown in the towel. Yeah, right. Don't give up. I don't care what they look like. You're believing for your kids, keep the power of the devil broken over them. Ask God to put laborers across their path. Ask Him to show them and teach them. See, I got it. My people were not a praying people. They were good people up to a point. But they didn't know where the point was sometimes. and they didn't know how to pray. I'm telling you, if you could have been in the church I was raised in, you wouldn't even believe there was such a church as that. But Ken's mother, see, when I married Ken, I began to get prayed for by somebody who knew how to pray. Because she thought, when she found out about me, she thought her precious only son had had his life ruined by this woman. So she really started praying. Oh, she started praying. It's true. Bless her heart. But she got over it. She saw I was all right after a while. But don't quit wherever you are in your walk of faith. Don't quit and get in the Word. Get in a good church. If you live somewhere besides here and you can't go to church here, find out a good Word church. Find out where the fanatics hang out and go there. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you're snared. Proverbs 6:2 says you're snared by your words. Now, we know that Mark 11 tells us we get what we say. Whether you're releasing your faith or not, what you continually say will come to pass in your life. And that's what Proverbs says. You are snared by your words. The Amplified says, caught up by speech. So put your words to work for you. Caught up by the speech of your mouth. Glory to God. Now, here's an interesting verse. I was just all impressed with it when I found it not too long ago. Hadn't been all that many years. But Psalm 139 says this, Psalm 139, 4. I want to look that up and read it to you because it's so impressive about your words. It'll make you want to say right. It really stirred me up back in the old days. And I still hang on to it. Psalm 139, 4 says, now, you know, we're word people. That's what we're called. You might be a visitor to a word people here, but most of us in this church and in our circles, we're called word people. Not always in a nice way are we called word people, but we're called word people, which is an honor. Isn't that an honor? Hallelujah. And this is what Psalm 139 says. For there is not a word. I'm talking to you now about talking. I'm saying what you want to come to pass and don't say anything else. And if you slip up and you get negative and you say, well, this is never going to work and I'm not ever going to get healed. No. Well, repent and get right back on faith. Don't let the devil keep you off that faith track. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now, how many of you in Brother Hagin's meetings? Quite a few of you. We began to learn about our words in his meetings. That he had a message. I believe he had this message. You can have what you say. How many of you had that message? You can have what you say. And he was teaching us that your words are your faith speaking. And your words call those things into your life. Good or bad. Some people say things like, you know, we always get sick. This is the flu season. We get the flu every year. Well, I guess so, dum-dum. You take it every year. We're not taking the flu. We don't take the flu. We rebuke the flu. Amen? So this says, here's a sobering word. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. And one translation says, I forget which one it is, but only you on every side are the whole of it. There's not a word in my tongue, but you know it on every side. You know the whole of what I say, the completeness, in other words, of what I say. So your words do matter. That's not just some idea that Brother Hagin came up with. I'm telling you, we never got out of debt till we got our words straight. We never, and I bet Keith and Phyllis tell you the same thing. We never stayed healed till we got our words straight. And we didn't even know our words were a problem until we heard Brother Hagin teaching on how faith works. You can have, here's one big tape he had. And when I say tape, I mean reel-to-reel tapes. The old days, the good old days. You can have what you say. Keith, was that a big tape or not? Did that change things? He taught in there from the Word that your words bring these things to pass in your life. Why is that? Because your faith is released with words. Your doubt is released with words. Hallelujah. And so we began to shape up. I mean, when we heard Brother Hagin teaching how to live by faith and walk by faith, we made changes. We just got busy with changing our words and saying what we wanted to come to pass. We didn't go around saying, oh, I want you to pray with me. I believe I'm catching a cold. What good would it do to pray with you when you believe you're catching a cold? Or I'm scared. I think I'm going to be laid off. Pray for me. You need it, brother. You better get your word straight. Amen? But that's what people do, don't they? Now, how did that happen? Do you think that's an accident? People just got negative like that and didn't think anything about it? No. That's how Satan gets in. Here's the deal on Satan. He's been cast out. He's an outsider. He doesn't own anything. He's a thief. He's come to kill, and he's a murderer. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you'll give him words, well, he'll steal from you. If you'll say, I always get the flu this time of year, he'll put sickness in your life. So we learned better long, long time ago to not give Satan any place. And you do that by not giving him any words to work with. But what do you do instead? We give God place. How do you do that? By giving him words to work with. Right out of this book, glory to God. He bore my sicknesses and carried my disease, and by his stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. My needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, go for it. You may be new today and you may think, these are wild bunch. We are the wild bunch. And we are the happy wild bunch. We are the prosperous wild bunch. We are the healed wild bunch. Hallelujah. And you're not likely to talk us out of it either. I like being free. What does it say in the Bible? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's exactly. How many of you in your life have already experienced that for a fact, that you found out the truth and you became free? Free. Look at that. Look at that. Where would you find that many people that would lie in one place? They're telling the truth. It's the truth, I'm telling you. And if you're new today, go out to the wherever they have all these great tapes and things and books and cassettes, and I don't guess they have cassettes anymore, DVDs and CDs, and take some home with you and listen to them on the way home. Listen to them when you get home. Listen to them over and over and over and over again. And then call up here and order some more. Glory to God. Amen? I mean, you may think I'm a fanatic, and I really am. But I'm happy. I'm healed. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. And it took me a while to get this way, and don't bother me because I like it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This church is full of fanatics because y'all have the best teaching. My goodness, what good words you have. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. You're snared by your words, Proverbs says. An Amplified says you're caught by your speech. I don't think you can make the cut if you don't do something about your words. If you keep talking doubt and unbelief, you can read the Bible all day long, but if you don't let it get in and change you, change your believing, change your words, it's not working for you. It's not just reading the Bible. It's finding out what the Bible says and then doing that makes a difference in your life. And don't let anybody talk you out of it, not the devil or anybody else. You're snared by the words of your mouth. Faith takes the promise, hallelujah. We get the prize. Jesus made it possible for us to be redeemed from the curse. He himself redeemed us from the curse. Now, if you don't know about the blessing and the curse, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessing. Everything good's over here on the blessing. Everything, plenty, health, peace, wonderful thing. Over here's the curse. Nothing's good over here. It's awful. It's poverty. It's sickness. It's problems. Here you are in the middle. Now you get to choose. Do you want the blessing or do you want the curse? Well, you decide by finding out in the Word of God what it says about the blessing, and you begin to act on that and say that. If it says do this and you'll be blessed, then do that and you'll be blessed. If it says do this and you'll be cursed, then you'll be cursed if you do it. It's simple. Anybody can do this. But it does take time if you don't know. Most of you, I suspect, I have this suspicion that most of you are already Word people. But you might have brought some unbelieving family member with you today. And he needs to know this, and she needs to know this. And we need to hear it over and over again ourselves. Amen? Glory to God. All right. Faith takes it. Hallelujah. It's not what we know that counts, but what we actually do and say. You can have all the information, but if you don't act on it, if you don't take it, if you don't say it, if you don't do it, it's not going to be working in your life. So faith takes the promise. Jesus won the battle. We get the prize. Hallelujah. How did he win that battle for us? He became a curse for us. Now the Bible says, you know, in the Old Testament, if you do that, here's the curse, here's the blessing. You do these things, you'll be blessed. You do these things, you'll be cursed. And so that's just the way it was. I mean, that's called the law. And that's the way it was. Now we have been redeemed. Jesus took the curse. Think about it now. Here's the blessing. Here's the curse. Jesus took the curse in his own body on the tree, the Bible said, that he was made a curse for us. He paid the price for deliverance from the whole curse. Everything bad's under that curse. It's in Deuteronomy 28, if you don't believe me. He paid the whole price for the curse when he hung on that tree. He took sin. He redeemed us from the curse. What does that mean? He bought us back from the curse. If he hadn't done what he did, there wouldn't be any answer for us. We couldn't be redeemed from the curse. Blood had to be shed. Somebody had to pay the price, and it couldn't be just anybody. It had to be one without sin. It had to be the perfect one. That's why Jesus is Lord over our lives. That's why we trust him with our lives. We give him ourselves when we come to him. We say what I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I never even heard of being a preacher's wife. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. I was raised in church. Ken says it's famous for believing nothing. And I'm not telling you what it was. But it's the truth, church. We've been blessed. See, here's what I want you to get from me today. We've already been blessed. We talk about the blessing. We've already been blessed. When we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we were born over again out of sin, out of death, into blessing and life, we were now redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you get born over again, Satan loses out. Now you can drift back. You can, you know, be stupid and live like you used to, and you lose it. What do? You repent and start over till you get the hang of it. But we're not going back. I wouldn't go back to living a normal life. How dull can life be? Just get beat up all the time? Bad things happen, you don't have any idea what to do about? No, we're not going back. We're going up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting excited. I have to settle down now. You know, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, the Bible says in Mark 11, and that's one of the places where we learn how faith works, if you want to look it up sometime. He spoke to this fig tree, and he went on his way. He said to that fig tree, no man eat. He went by. He was hungry. There wasn't any fruit on the tree. No figs. He said to the fig tree, here he is with the disciples, just walking along here. He said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. He kept walking. Okay, here it is. The next morning, we come back. What happened to that dumb fig tree? Look at that. That sucker's withered up from the roots. There ain't nothing left but a few sticks. They saw it. The disciples saw it. They heard him say what he said. I see, that's the power that you have in your words. You're in debt and you want to get out? Talk to it. And I hate to tell you this part, because you have to quit borrowing money to get out of debt. If you just talk to the fig tree, talk to the debt, and then you keep borrowing money from the bank or wherever, you're not going to get out of debt. But talk to the fig tree. If you want to get out of debt, get all your debts together, figure out what you owe, lay hands on them, believe God, Lord, we're lifting this to you. Your word says for us to stay out of debt, and we want out of debt, and we believe that you will help us get out of debt. We're tithers, we're sowers, and we believe for every debt to be gone. And you start talking to that debt. And here's another thing. Now, this will really help you if you want to get out of debt. Quit borrowing money. That'll really help. That's a good beginning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so you believe God, and then you say, well, yeah, but here's our situation. We saw that scripture. Stay out of debt. Get out of debt. And this was way back when, way, way back. And so Ken wanted, he's an airplane guy, you know, machines. He wanted an airplane. That was his thing. I wanted a house. That's our thing, girls. I wanted a house. So, you know, Ken, he thought, we could live in the airplane. I mean, who needs a house? Let's get an airplane. No, it wasn't quite that bad, but anyway, it could have been. And so we started believing God. We said, okay, we're not going to borrow any money. We're going to get out of debt, which we did. Ken's he was really good at borrowing money. I mean, he could do it. You know, he could borrow money anywhere. Don't ever do that. But we got, so here we got out of debt. We finally got out of that debt. And I sometimes say I married Kenneth Copeland and his notes. But I didn't know about his notes. He didn't tell Gloria, guess how much money I owe. It wasn't really much, but it's a lot when you don't have any. You know what I mean? So anyway, we got out of debt. We stayed out of debt. Now what about it? Okay, it comes time to buy something big like a house. Well, we've made up our mind. We've acted on the word. We're not borrowing any money. We'll pay cash for it. It took us a little while to do that. But you know what? It did it. We worked. How long does it take to pay a house off? 40 years? 45 years? Didn't take us that long to believe God for it. And so I'm just giving you that for an example. We don't have to live like the world lives. We've got God, we've got a Father, we have a Lord Jesus Christ, we've got words that tell us what to do, how to live, do this and you'll be blessed. We do that and we all get blessed, amen? Hallelujah, glory to God. And faith changed everything for us. I mean, when we learned how to release faith, how to talk faith and how to receive by faith, it was a piece of cake then. When we didn't know anything, it was difficult. But the Lord saw to it that we found out because our hearts were right. We were trying to do the right thing. So if you live in victory, you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. The scripture says you're snared by the words of your mouth. Amplified says you're caught by your speech. If you're wanting to switch over and walk by faith, you're going to have to talk faith and not doubt and unbelief. You can't say one thing and enjoy another. Amen. And here's what Brother Hagin preached to many of us that were in those meetings. He had this tape. I'm talking about tape. Real, real tape. He had this tape. The title of it was, You Can Have What You Say. How many of you ever heard that tape? Glory to God. We got a lot of old timers in here, Keith. Yeah, You Can Have What You Say. That changed a lot of things for us. If we didn't want sickness, we couldn't talk sickness. If we didn't want to have not enough money, we couldn't talk lack. We had to say what we wanted to come to pass. We still do that. But oh my, how it works. It works so good. You couldn't talk us into going back. So faith is not for wimps, it's for the tough, those that'll stay with it. Psalm 27 says, what would have become of me had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord? I shudder to think what would have become of me had we not known to believe and to see the goodness of the Lord. But we know, church, and we're walking in victory. You know, and you're walking in victory. Glory to God. You're snared, the scripture says, by the words of your mouth. Faith takes the promise. Jesus won the battle, and we get the prize. You know why we get the prize? Because he himself took the curse in his own body on the tree. He took the whole curse. Everything listed in Deuteronomy 28, everything bad in life is listed there. Sickness, disease, poverty, being beat down this way and that way. And he took that curse for us. He was made a curse for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. What a deal he did for us. That's why we serve him. That's why I endeavor to do it. Serve him with our whole hearts. If he tells you to go somewhere and do this or that or be a missionary or go here and witness to somebody or whatever he says, do what he says. He paid a price for your freedom. Jesus himself was made a curse for us on the cross, that we could be made the righteousness of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say a few more things about faith. Remember the fig tree? That's where you learn a lot in Mark 11, where it talks about the fig tree. Jesus walked by and he said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Walked by again a little bit later, maybe a day or two. I don't know exactly. Don't remember that. But when he came back by, the disciples were amazed. They said, look, Lord, the fig tree, it's withered away. It didn't wither. It withered from the roots up. I'm saying it didn't just, you know, lose a few leaves here and there. No, when he said, no man eat fruit of you again forever, that dude died. And it never did come back. Now that's the way we need to understand that our words have power and authority. You talk what you want to come to pass, and you don't claim those things that you don't want to come to pass. You don't say, well, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make this house payment this month. I don't know. I guess we may just lose this house. You probably will. But you're not giving God anything to work with. If you had a house payment due, you ought to be sowing for that house payment. You ought to be praising God and thanking him every day. Lord, I believe I received this money to make this house payment on October the 10th. I believe it. Ministering spirits, go and cause that money to come to me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, we've got the power if we'll release it. God's given us the name. He's given us the authority, hallelujah. And he's given us the word to show us what to do. So if we're not having victory, it's not his fault. What does Scripture say? This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Did you know you can't overcome the world for me? It's my faith that overcomes in my world. You can help me, you can pray for me, you can, you know, minister to me. But you can't do that forever and get results. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And if you're where you can get in a good church like this one, you need to get in it and learn how to walk by faith if you don't know already, because it's the difference. Keith and Phyllis will tell you they've done it. It's the difference in daylight and dark when you get the Word of God going in your life. Isn't that right, Tracy? It makes all the difference. Hallelujah. It's like walking in another world. Now, we've been doing it for many, many, many years. We've been walking by faith. We've had, you know, all kind of things, problems, sickness. We've had $1 million, $10 million, and more in bills coming due for television, radio. God has seen us through it. And to Him be the glory. We haven't had much sickness, but when you get on the Word of God, you don't have sickness. You get some kind of a symptom come on your body, and you say, "Oh no, no, you're not bringing the flu on me. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that flu. I'm not having it. I'm healed. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by His stripes, I was healed." I mean, you get strong about it, don't you, Keith? You don't just say, "Oh, you know, honey." Keith doesn't come in to feel and say, "Sweetheart, I just feel like I've got the fever. I feel like I'm gonna be sick." You know, so many people have been sick lately. Oh, Phyllis would fall out on the floor laughing if Keith did that. He doesn't do that. I don't do that. Ken doesn't do that. What happens when you start feeling like something's trying to come on? You get up out of your bed and you start rebuking it. You say, "You're not coming on me, flu. I'm not having you in Jesus' name." Yeah, well, somebody might hear you. Somebody will hear you. The devil will hear you. And that's what counts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith takes the promise. Jesus won the battle and we get the prize. Remember, the fig tree was withered from the root. You couldn't see anything happened right then, but boy, by the next day, that sucker withered up. You could see it. And that's the way it is many times in situations. When you go to work with your faith, God goes to work with His power. You may not can see it for a few days. So if you just quit after 2 or 3 days, you've lost the battle. But if you'll just hang in there and stay until the Word changes your situation, that healing or job or family situation, whatever you need, you stay in there, it'll change. You'll get it. If you quit, I can't promise you anything. Faith takes the promise, hallelujah. It's not what we know that counts, it's what we actually do and say under pressure in the situation. 1 John 5:5 says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That means everything in the world, faith will overcome it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step. Glory to God. Get born over again. There's only so much that can be done with you until you get born over again. You're full of trash. You've got sin in your life. It's dark in there. You need a new start. You say those people are fanatics. Yeah, but we're happy fanatics. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Luke says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's how you increase. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Create a faith atmosphere around where you are. You and your family live by faith. Talk by faith. Don't feed on trash, but feed on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith hears. Faith believes the Word. Faith hears the Word. Faith believes the Word. Faith speaks and takes the Word and says what the Word says. Now, here's the scripture. You might not have discovered this one, but it's really stout. Psalm 139:1-4 says, God, this is part of what it says, in the Amplified, Psalm 139:1-4, God knows every word, every side, or the whole of every word you speak. You might think He's too busy for you today to hear you talking negative. No, the Bible just says it. In the Amplified, in the King James, God knows every word. So if today you believe for your healing, and 2 or 3 days from now you don't feel so good, and you start talking, "I think I'm catching the flu, and this and that and the other," God heard that word. So what'd you do? Well, you nullified your faith word. Now, if you do that inadvertently, and you realize you've done it, just say, "Lord, I'm repenting over that word. I'm not believing that what I said. I believe, go back to your original belief. I believe this. This is what I believe concerning my health. This is what I believe. I believe I'll never have the flu. I believe I'll, you know, whatever it is. Straighten out your words when you mess up. God forgives you. Ask Him to forgive you and make it right and restate what you're believing. God is so patient. So Scripture says He's extraordinarily patient. Hallelujah. So faith, remember this, when you pray, faith takes it. Believe you, the Scripture says, believe you receive when you pray. Believe you receive when you pray. We know that's right. If you don't receive it when you pray, you didn't pray in faith. Now, the word receive means, if you look it up in the commentaries and so on, it means take. So when you pray, you take it. You take it. Let's say you're praying for a healing. When you pray, you take the healing. You take it when you pray. And from then on, you don't pray every day and say, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. No, you took it. So what do every day? You say, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that every symptom of this has gone off my body. I thank you that I'm strong. I thank you that the fever's gone. I thank you that, or I'm believing for you're believing for your children. Break the power of the devil over them. Believe you receive their salvation and ask the angels to put laborers across their path. Ask the Lord to put laborers across their path to show them what to do. And you say, you keep on. You don't quit. You don't quit. Thank you, Lord. You'd be amazed at the testimonies we hear of the weirdest things happening for people to get saved that just are off the wall. I mean, you know, they think God moves when you pray. And He certainly moves when you pray for your family. And don't let the devil steal your family. Faith receives or takes. Faith speaks. Faith possesses. Faith forgives. The Bible says forgive if you have aught against any. Faith's not going to work in an unforgiving heart. Yeah, but boy, they were really bad to me. You don't know what they did to me. I know what they're doing now. They're making your prayers nothing. Zeros. So forgive if you have aught. Besides that, you'll be happier, you'll be healthier, and you'll live longer if you'll walk in love. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith loves. If you want to be a receiver, you must be a lover. Faith, in Galatians says, faith works by love. So look up love, find out love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Faith works, but you have to walk in love. And you can't be touchy. If somebody does you wrong, forgive them and let them go free. But big deal is you go free. If you don't forgive them, you're bound up. And they're still doing you wrong, but now it's your fault. Have you got that? Okay. All right. That's necessary. Don't get in strife. Don't be pulled over in strife. That's the opposite of love. Your faith won't work there. Faith loves. If you want to be a receiver, you must be a lover. Galatians 5:5-6 says, and 13-24 says, faith, get this now, faith works by love. The opposite, strife would be the opposite of love. I'm going to read you this scripture and then I'm going to hush. These scriptures. No, I'm going to read. You know this scripture, but I want to remind you of it because it's life and death. So 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read it in the Amplified Bible. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful, vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, rude, inflated with pride. It's not rude and unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. Now listen to this one. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful, pays no attention or account to an evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Faith works by love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember that. It's not worth it to get in strife. It's not worth it to get mad and pop off and say things you shouldn't say and be selfish. And it's not worth it. You can't have that. You can't have strife and love at the same time. And you can't have answers without walking in love. Amen? Amen. So if somebody does you wrong, since you know that faith works by love, well, what would love do? Pray for them, bless them, help them. Lord, we don't take any account of the evil done to us. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I don't pay any attention to that, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive them. What happened? Well, you went free. What happened to them? I don't know what happened to them, but you went free. Amen? And that counts. That's not just pretty words. You have to, if you want strong faith, you got to walk in love. And you've got to walk in forgiveness. Lord, we thank you. Galatians 5 says, faith works by love. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We receive your word. We're asking you, Lord, and you agree with me if you want this, we're asking you to help us and teach us how to stay in the love of God. Reveal to us, Lord, when we slip and make a mistake, show us how to make up. Show us what to do to overcome it. Show us how to repent and what to repent of. And grow up, help us to grow up so that we don't get out of love. And we'll stay blessed. We'll stay healthy, we'll stay happy, we'll stay strong, we'll have good people around us and good friends, good family, and we give you all the praise, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. We thank you for your word. We ask you to bless each one of us, Lord, with revelation of your word so that we can grow up and become mature and become what you'd have us to be. And we give you all the praise. Thank you for your patience. You are exactly what the Bible says, extraordinarily patient with us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.